Hello, hello, everybody. Happy New Year. We made it. You know, for some reason, I was waking up this morning hoping that everything would be completely different somehow. It didn't happen, but bottom line is we made it to the new year, and that is the good news. So with that, welcome into the very first take of 2021. Pleasure to be here with each and every one of you. My name is Charlie Arnold. We got three very talented men on the roster for today. We have Ryan Clark, Dominique Foxworth, also Rob Ninkovich. So guys, happy new year. Let's get things started, because I think the only real way to kick off 2021 is to maybe look back on what happened in 2020, because a whole lot happened. We had several champions crowned, and two of them were crowned in very, very different environments. Back in February, at a packed Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, Patrick Mahomes led the Chiefs to a Super Bowl victory. And then we're going to fast forward to August in the ultra-secure Orlando bubble, LeBron James steering the LA Lakers to an NBA championship. So, Dom, who would you say is the MVP of 2020 sports? Is it LeBron James or is it Patrick Mahomes?
Well, before we get to that, can I see a split screen with my man Ryan Clark? Because he looks phenomenal today. It's a purple tuxedo. That's fantastic. That's beautiful. Yeah. What is that, velvet? That is fantastic. Isn't that velvet?
Hey, man, you just seem to have to come up with
a plan,
man, for the start of 2021.
I love it. But anyway, I guess to the question, I was leaning towards LeBron, and I'm switching over to Patrick Mahomes. Because if you think about what he's done in 2020, it's been outstanding. He's only lost one game, and that was to the Raiders in 2020. And that was a game that he played well, and he scored a lot of points, so they could have won that. But to go an entire calendar year with only losing one game is incredible. At one point, he was the reigning MVP of the league and the Super Bowl champion and Super Bowl MVP. And if you look back at what he did at the beginning of this year in January and last year's playoffs and Super Bowl, it was outstanding. And I know RC likes to innovate and talk about arm arrogance as a new way to measure things, but I'm going to introduce my own scale to measure things. So I'm going to go with the church lady scale of achievement. That's what I'm using. Are you ready for this, RC? So in the first round of the playoffs, they were in the divisional round of the playoffs, and they had a 2% chance of winning in the second quarter when they are down 24-0 to the Texans, I think it was. And they came back and won. And you know what a church lady would say to that? Okay, got my attention. Okay, when I showed up to Easter with my nice suit, they would say, okay. And then in the next round, they were the second quarter, and they had a 20% chance of winning when they were getting jumped on by the Titans. Mm-hmm. And he came back and won that game again. You know what that gets? That gets a gone head with your bad self. That's when you come back the next Sunday, your suit is still fresh. They hit you with a gone head. And then in a Super Bowl, he topped all of that. He was down and late in the fourth quarter. 9 minutes left. They had a 4% win probability. And you know what? They won. And he put that team on his back, made some amazing throws, and then he got the peak compliment that you could ever get from a church lady. You better tell him. It's all about the you. You better tell him. And that's what he did. He told all of us that he is the man in this league. He took over. And I love LeBron and everything he does. I know the off the field and off the court stuff matters too. And Patrick Mahomes is somebody who started to get involved in that a little bit more often. He helped lead voting initiatives in Kansas City. He also lent his face and his name to the Black Lives Matter movement when they came for Roger Goodell and forced the NFL to make some concessions and take this stuff more seriously. So I think it's hard. If Patrick Mahomes can't get it this year, only losing one game and getting to the very peak of my scale, you better tell him. Then what else can you do?
Well, listen, you know, Sister Tyson in my church, the head deaconess, would sit in the front row and she would say, "Preach, preacher." And then once I would get to the front and I would start to speak and I would have to welcome everybody to the regular Baptist church, know what she'd say? "Let him use you." And that's what LeBron James has done for the world. He's let us use him. I think eventually, Patrick Mahomes is going to get to that point, right, to where everything he does, we kind of get desensitized to it, that he's going to roll to his left and throw it back across to the right side of the field, and we're going to say, oh, my goodness, that would have been cool like 15 years ago, but we've seen you do it a ton of times. And that's where we've gotten with LeBron. Now, we got to think back to what this season and this NBA season this year was for us. We lost Kobe Bryant in January. LeBron was a part of that. LeBron was one of the people that spoke up on behalf of Kobe Bryant and his family. He showed love to them. He was one of the people who had to carry on a torch of the LA Laker greats while losing one of their greats. That's an extremely difficult thing to do. He did it with grace. He did it with class. He did it in the way that Kobe Bryant would have been proud. Now, that's near and dear to me because Kobe Bryant's my favorite basketball player of all time. And it was awesome that he continued to keep his memory alive through the way that he plays. Now, let's think about the season for the NBA. The NBA season is postponed. They have to come back and play in the bubble. LeBron James is the guy that's played in front of packed arenas his whole life, since 16, 17 years old. You got Dickie V going to his high school games to see him play against Oak Hill. Now he's playing in this environment where he doesn't have his family, where he doesn't have the fans, where it's quiet, where guys like Devin Booker, where we can see other basketball players who aren't necessarily the type of stars that LeBron James is, play in the gym where the wall is close behind the basketball goal, so the depth perception is better. We see some of these guys have shooting performances like we've never seen, the Dame Lillards, but guess what? It don't matter, because it's LeBron. And even though he won't win the MVP during the season because we want to give it to other people, he's still the finals MVP. He still never goes to a game seven. Now, let's talk about the more than the vote, right? The more than the athlete. And also, we can even think about Patrick Mahomes. Here is why LeBron James is the greatest athlete of this time. Here's why LeBron James is the overall MVP. Did Patrick Mahomes or did LeBron James show up to do Patrick Mahomes' show? Or was Patrick Mahomes a member and a guest of LeBron James' show? He was. He was on the barbershop. LeBron James allowed him to come talk. You know who else was on the barbershop? President Barack Obama. Listen, when LeBron James is talking and he gets to say, I am blessed to call you a friend, and you're talking to my forever president, Mr. President, President Barack Obama, you the man, bro. And so with all that LeBron James accomplished on the court, with everything that he accomplished off the court in one of the more difficult NBA seasons and winning one of the more difficult NBA championships in the history of the sport, LeBron James is the MVP, and it's not even close. I just appreciate you being a true teammate, the same way Sister Tyson would, the same way Deacon Brown would, and taking the other side of this argument and the argument you knew you couldn't win. That's how 2021 is supposed to start.
Settle it,
RC,
bro. Settle.
Hey, RC, listen, I'm hearing everything you're saying. I agree with you. Yes, LeBron is he's the greatest basketball player I'm an MJ kid, so
don't you say of all time.
Back in the 90s. I'm not saying all time.
I was waiting for that.
He's the greatest of the modern basketball that we watch now, LeBron, in the last 10, 15 years. Okay, so. But I will say, as far as desensing the skill sets, we are already doing that with Patrick Mahomes. He has 38 touchdown passes and six interceptions. And we're talking about Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers as the MVPs of the league. What are we talking about? We have our MVP in Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes, the things that he is able to do this year alone, he should go back-to-back MVP. You talk about Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, he's had a great year. Aaron Rodgers is great. You talk about Josh Allen. Yeah, he's a good quarterback. He's doing really good. But when you think about what Patrick Mahomes is doing, they potentially could go back-to-back Super Bowl championships. And I know you don't want to hear it, but I know the last team to do it was the Patriots with Tom Brady. So I know you all don't want to hear it. But I'm saying Patrick Mahomes is my MVP because – only losing one football game. The statistics that he's putting up this year are beating his stats from last year, and nobody's really talking about it. Why? Because we're desensitized to that, to his greatness. So, how many touchdown passes? Oh, Pat Mahomes, he only threw four. Like, he is so good that we expect him to be that good every single game. And guess what? He is that good, and he's continuing to do that. So, I gotta go with Patrick Mahomes.
Guys,
you better preach, Pastor.
Bro, I'm actually shocked that you two are making this argument. I understand it's football season, but basketball season started too. And no man in the world flips the fortunes of organizations like LeBron does. He's not only the best player in the world, he's the best agent. He took his homeboy's the greatest agent in basketball, and they build their own teams. He built the Lakers, not Rob Pelinka. Rob Pelinka gets to say that he's a part of it. LeBron James is the 2020 MVP, and it's not even close. And for you two to sit up here, it's
you're not gonna get me to disrespect LeBron James. Hold on, Rob. Let me get in here. You're not gonna get me to disrespect LeBron James. I think he is very good. Everything he's done is fantastic. I even go back to the players, not just him. He's given more power to all players across sport. He is a modern day Kurt Flood. Like, I love LeBron James. Everything he's done is special. And if you want to have the argument of greatest of all time, I take LeBron over MJ, but maybe that's for another day. But we're talking about this one year. And this one year, I think that what Patrick Mahomes has done has been incredibly special. And I understand flipping the fortunes. He's the agent. He's the GM. He's the best player. I understand that. He may even be coaching that team. I'm not going to knock any of that. But Patrick Mahomes lost one game in a whole dang season. So I understand
it's
that you,
22 you're buckled in. You got, it's 53
you got,
people.
You got... You can only play the games that they lay out there. They gave him 22 games. He won 21
Patrick
of them.
He was playing quarterback. LeBron
in fantastic fashions. So LeBron now is a defensive stopper too. AD don't help with that. AD is not helping LeBron James at all. It's just LeBron. What? We talk about this year in isolation. AD, right. And I understand.
Guys,
having,
they keep telling us we got to go.
Uncle Barack
we gotta go.
On his side is great. Okay.
2-1.
All right, look. Patrick Mahomes did an interview with GQ back in the fall, and he was asked who the greatest current sports player of this year is, or really, he was saying the current player, and he actually said LeBron James, and Patrick Mahomes was an option in that list, so he didn't choose himself, although maybe a little weird to choose yourself.
He won't even choose himself!
What he thinks. He wouldn't choose himself, but that would be a little weird, right? A little cocky?
Humility.
Exactly.
Man, LeBron
okay, guys,
would.
Let's move on, and we're still going to stick with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. They are the favorites to win the Super Bowl, but of course there are some teams building a lot of momentum through the month of December, making a very serious case why they could, in fact, upset Kansas City. So, Ryan, who do you consider the best personnel matchup against Kansas City?
Oh, it's the Buffalo Bills to me. When you look at the Buffalo Bills, the way to attack them defensively is to run the football. Obviously, that's not something Kansas City majors in. Even though we've seen them in some games this season decide to lead with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and now it's obviously Le'Veon Bell until Clyde is back, maybe some Darrell Williams later on in the game. And that's kind of where the Buffalo Bills are weak on defense. They have an all-pro caliber player in Tre'Davious White, who was one of the corners, Josh Norman, Levi Wallace on the other side. Obviously, those matchups outside are huge. But then when you look inside with Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde at the safety position, I think they have two as a duo, maybe one of the best duos of safeties in the NFL that we never talk about. But then on the other side of the football is where I think the Buffalo Bills match up the best. You have Stephon Diggs, who has been uncoverable this season, the guy who's ascended. I know we just moved Devontae Adams up to 99 on Madden. I'm waiting for Stephon Diggs to get there too, because the dude has done whatever he's wanted on the field the entire season. And I talked about the arm arrogance of Josh Allen. That's what you have to have. When you're going toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes, you have to have a guy that's going to stand on the other side and not be scared to make the throws, not be scared to push the football down the field. If Josh Allen is throwing that pass to Emmanuel Sanders in the Super Bowl last year instead of Jimmy Garoppolo, then the San Francisco 49ers are the Super Bowl champions. That's the type of dude that's playing quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. A dude who maybe at this point, even though we're talking about Aaron Rodgers winning it, may be ahead of Patrick Mahomes in what he's provided for his team, the way he stepped up, the way he's become the leader of that franchise. I think that when you look at the way the Buffalo Bills play football, the type of discipline that Sean McDermott coaches with, the handle he has on this football team, the confidence level that they're playing with, and a little bit of that ignorance of being new to the dance, a little bit of that, you know what? I think my quarterback might be better than their quarterback. I believe my receiver is better than their receiver. I think that Moss and Singletary in the backfield can run the football enough. Oh, when that's covered on the outside, let's go to Cole Beasley in the slot. The confidence level that they're playing with, the efficiency of this offense, but also the explosiveness that a quarterback like Josh Allen can provide, those are the things you need to play against the Kansas City Chiefs. And now, do I think it's extremely close between the Buffalo Bills and the Green Bay Packers? Do the Green Bay Packers have an opportunity to say some of these same things about their team? Hell yeah, it's very close. But right now, the Buffalo Bills, the Bills Mafia, if they could, they'd be standing on the back of trucks, jumping on the tables, having snowball fights, understanding that this team has a chance to do some things that Jim Kelly never did, and that's win the whole thing. Yeah. This is the type of team we're talking about with the Buffalo Bills, and I think they're the biggest opposition to the Kansas City Chiefs.
So I'm not going to disagree with you in the AFC, but you mentioned it. If we are bringing in all the teams, you talk about a quarterback that you can trust in that situation is Aaron Rodgers. And they have the corners to match up as well as anybody. If we're talking Green Bay, they have the corners in Alexander and King to match up, Savage at safety. They have the secondary to play with them. They have some pass rushers on the edge, and they got Clark who can push in the middle, the edge rushers in Smith. They, to me, seem like the roster that is better personnel-wise to match up with Kansas City. However, the one thing you said that made that kind of undercut your argument from the top is that you need to run against the Buffalo Bills, and you kind of suggested that the Chiefs couldn't. The Chiefs had 245 rushing yards when they played the Bills.
I didn't say they could. See, there you go.
160.
There you go.
You okay? What did you say exactly? What did you say exactly?
There you go, Brain. I said we have seen them use the run this year. So I did not undercut my statement. I made my statement. I also added an auxiliary statement to it. And now you can run against the Packers too.
Yeah, I know you can run against the Packers. I'm not saying. I'm just saying that I know they can run. Go ahead, Robert.
No, I was saying that, look, as a defender, I'm an ex-defensive football player, and I hate to say this, but sometimes the best
defense... Oh, you're the only one on the set? You're the only defender on the set.
Hey, I played for the Patriots. We won the last two Super Bowls back-to-back.
Oh, man. We're the only one who know how to defend. I'm a linebacker. I'm big.
Let the man talk, guys.
Don't maybe get my rings out, because they're sized for the middle finger. I'm kidding. No, I ain't kidding. No. What I'm trying to say is sometimes the best defense is an offense that can keep up with Kansas City. I don't think a defense can actually match up to Kansas City, because secondary-wise, you have to have some great cover corners, but yet you have to have a pass rush. When I look at everybody on defense right now, really, there's some teams that have a good rush, but their secondary struggles. When I think about a whole team defense, you have to go out there and you have to outscore Kansas City. That's plain and simple. You got to go out there offensively, and every possession that you touch the football, you have to score to keep up with them, because we have seen it in the past. They can be down 20 points, and Patrick Mahomes comes out of halftime, you know, has his little hot cocoa, gets himself warmed up, and throws for 400 in the second half. So I think that if you look at a team that can keep up, what's the best offensive team that can go out and score every single time they get out there? And with Buffalo's win over the Patriots, which completely destroyed them and demoralized the Patriots, I think that Buffalo can do that. They can keep up score by score, and they can go out and score at will.
Hey, Dom, and Ninkovich said that. Rob, and he played defense, so there you go.
anyone a couple Super Bowls. So, Rob, first of all, I appreciate that you are fitting in and not fitting out. You are welcome with us anytime. It has been fun already.
Anytime.
But where I have some disagreement with you and Ryan is that I have a hard time. I know that they can. I believe that in the AFC, the Bills are the best team, not name the Chiefs. They're going to give them the hardest chance. But if you bring into the equation the other side, I feel like the Packers are a tougher team. And I understand that Josh Allen has turned into something that we didn't expect. Like last week against the Patriots, his receivers and tight ends was trying to throw the game. They was out there point shaving at the beginning. Balls bouncing off face mask, and he didn't care. He kept drilling them, and they eventually they caught the ball, and they ended up blowing out the Patriots. So I got respect for him, but I do feel like Josh Allen kind of reminds me of, like, British rappers. I remember when I heard my first British rapper, I was like, this is trash. Like, this ain't gonna work. You can't be rapping all this tough stuff with that hoity-toity accent. Then I listened again, I was like, all right, it ain't that bad. Then after a while, I heard Skepta, and I was like, that is flames. And that's what Josh Allen is for me. He's grown on me. He's grown on me. At first, I was like, you can't be rapping about running from bobbies in the street. Like, you can't put me in with that. Man. But by the end, I was like, it ain't safe these streets, I was down with Skepta. So Josh Allen feels like that to me. But Josh Allen also, the only time that he has been, or this has been a season where he's been great for much of the season. He hasn't had playoff success.
Okay.
He hasn't had the longevity and stuff. So I still think I have a hard time trusting him the way I trust Aaron Rodgers.
Just because we ain't seen it don't mean we ain't gonna see it. And here's the other thing. Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest of all time, the best I've ever played against personally, he's been to 4 NFC championships. He's been to 1 Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl he went to, he wasn't great in the NFC championship against the Chicago Bears. And so though I sing his praises, right, though I believe he's the MVP this year and things can be different, we've seen him not show up in very big moments for the Green Bay Packers. So just because Josh Allen hasn't been there yet doesn't mean when he gets there, he won't be a dude.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
In Alabama, they are back in the college football playoff after missing out on the event for the first time ever in 2019. And they're hoping to finish off an ultra-successful season with the program's first national championship since 2017. They're the heavy favorites to beat Notre Dame and also the championship game, which would be the 5th title under head coach Nick Saban. So, Ryan, I know you know what it's like to play for Nick Saban, but, Dom, I want to start with you and ask, is Nick Saban the greatest college coach of all time?
I mean, I guess so. You can look at his championships and him being able to build championship programs at 2 different SEC institutions. So, yeah, it's hard to measure up against him with anybody else in the modern era. But, I mean, the person who comes to mind for me is kind of getting lost in the history of all this is Eddie Robinson. Like, the coach at Grambling, he was there for 56 years, a head coach for an insane amount of time. And he took over that program back in the days of Jim Crow. It was, I think, 1941. At 22 years old, he became the head coach of the Grambling football team. And, you know, you talk about coaches who can do multiple different jobs. Like, Eddie Robinson really was that guy who was out there cutting the grass, taping ankles, coaching the offense, defense, and special teams. And somehow throughout all of that in Louisiana, he managed to put more than 200 players in the professional ranks. I think he has 4 Hall of Famers, like Pro Football Hall of Famers that he had coached. The man has been incredible. So I think that his kind of on-field accomplishments, they don't measure up to what Nick Saban has done. But if you look at the distance that he traveled, winning 9 black college national championships, if you look at the things that he had to overcome and the impact that he had on the sport, I feel like that's the only person that you could argue, and it's not necessarily because of his on-field accomplishments alone, but it's his ability to have accomplishments on-field while fighting all the other things he was fighting. I'm not sure that anybody else compares to Nick Saban other than Eddie Robinson and what he did down there at Grambling State.
You know, it's so crazy, you know, being from Louisiana and remembering my uncle taking me to the Bayou Classic. And, you know, at the time, I put on my freshest fit for the Bayou Classic. And I was about 12, so I ain't really have a lot, but I put it all on that day. I had on 3 different layers of all my fire stuff. I had on some Jabot jeans. I had a Tommy Hill figure. I had a bucket UNLV hat. I was ready to rock. And,
yes.
And it was just one of those things. Yeah, I was cold now. It was just one of those things when you went to see Grambling play Southern, it wasn't just about football. You know, it was about so much more than that. And so I'm going to get to my argument for Coach Saban, but Dom just brings up such a great point of being in the place, the impact you have on that place, and the lasting memory that you created in college football. Eddie Robinson is all of those things. Now, on the other side, I played for Nick Saban, right? When Nick Saban got to LSU, we're sitting in a meeting. I'm coming off of a season. I had 110 tackles, 3 picks, 11 PBUs. I still remember it because I was expecting Nick Saban to walk in, point directly to me, and say, "You are the man. I can't wait to coach you." Nick Saban looks up at a room full of LSU Tigers, a lot of boys from the boot. We don't know who this little short dude is in the front of the room. And he goes, "Y'all don't look like football players." And then I remember Jack Marucci, who is uber rich. I'm not sure why he's still the head trainer at LSU. He comes to me. He said, "We told Nick all about you. We told him how great you were, how much of a leader you were, how smart you were, how awesome of a player you were. He wants to talk to you personally." So I go up there and I'm ready. I'm like, "Oh, I know he about to tell me I'm that dude. I'm going to go first round, all this." He sat in front of me, and for 30 minutes, he told me all the things I needed to improve on because I wasn't good enough. And that's the Nick Saban I know. That's the Nick Saban, though, that has continued to grow with this game. 6 championships. You know, you made the Prince Hakeem reference because I got on my super cool New Year's Eve party jacket. But you know what Nick Saban is? When Nick Saban goes to basketball games, people chase him to the bathroom and say, "I can't believe it's you. This is the greatest day of my life." And he don't have to wash his hands when he leaves the bathroom and they want to take pictures with him. Because he's like Prince Hakeem. Nick Saban is the dude. Nick Saban has changed with the game for how stringent people say he is, for how tough people say he is, for how mean they say he can be. Nick Saban has understood you can't do the same thing year after year after year and still win with a changing game. You got to recruit differently. You got to run offense differently. You got to run defense differently. You got to hire the people that continue to let you move that forward. And he's done that. But he's done that always sticking with the principles of we're going to do what it takes to win games. And here's my greatest yet simplest story into how great I think Nick Saban is. One day, we're at practice. I've always been the same way. Nick's not a very big man. So I'm sitting, and Flossie, his name's Fred Booker, he was my roommate, we're talking. I start making jokes about how little Coach Saban is. Floss looks at me, he says, "RC," he didn't call me Deuce. He said, "Deuce, you better chill out. You ain't gonna play." He turns around and he goes, Nick Saban turns around to Floss and says, "Hell yes he is, because all I care about is winning." Now that's a very simple story. Obviously I was just joking with him, but that's who Nick Saban is. All he cares about is winning, and that's all he's done. Mm-hmm. When he gets number 7, ain't going to be no argument that dude's the greatest coach of all time.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with any of that. And I think the one point that you really touched on that I think is important is his ability to adapt. He's adapted to everything in this game. This Alabama team looks so different from what it looked like before. And he's always bringing in coaches from other places to bring in new ideas. Yep. They are not the I-formation, bang-it-out team that they once were. They are now progressed to a modern offense. So, like, I respect the heck out of Nick Saban and what he's been able to accomplish. And he's being rewarded for it. Talk about boy got his own money. That boy got his own money down there in Alabama. He can print bucks anytime he wants. They paying for his house and signing his check. I don't know. I mean, he's getting the rewards that he deserves. Because he's winning them championships and they're giving him anything that he wants. And they are chasing him all over the stadium, getting autographs and pictures no matter what he does with his hands.
Yeah, and that money goes a long way in Alabama. Guys, let's touch on the second semifinal game of the day, that happening between Clemson and Ohio State. That's going to mark the team's 4th meeting in the last 7 years and the 3rd time in a college football playoff game. Clemson has won all 4 outings and remain the favorites today. Ryan, can you make a case for Ohio State to beat Clemson today?
You can make a case, but that case is solely rest on the shoulders of Justin Fields. Justin Fields is a guy coming into this season, especially somebody like me who met him in high school and saw Trevor Lawrence in high school as well. I thought that it was an extremely close race to say who the best quarterback in this draft would be. That hasn't been the season that Justin Fields has had. That wasn't the type of season he had when he was playing against Indiana. That wasn't the type of game that he had when he was playing against Northwestern and Ohio State, and Ryan Day had to move to handing the football off to the tune of over 350 yards rushing. Justin Fields has to step up and be the dude we saw last year, the dude that accounted for 50 touchdowns and only 1 interception in the regular season. The guy who coming into this year was the odds-on favorite to be at least the 2nd quarterback picked overall, but had an opportunity to challenge Trevor Lawrence for the top spot, who's now moved behind Zach Wilson of BYU on Todd McShay's big board. Justin Fields has to step up. Justin Fields and these wide receivers need to be on the same page. He needs to use his legs. They have to be zone reads, zone options, RPOs. You have to do all the things that made this dude special before this season. But he has to step up more than anything. I know for sure that he remembers jumping up 16-0 on Clemson last year. I know he remembers his wide receiver breaking off of his route and him throwing his second interception to seal the game. He's heard the talk. He knows the things that are going on around him right now. He knows that his draft stock is falling. What better time? What better team? What better opposing quarterback than Trevor Lawrence, than Clemson, and in the college football playoff for Justin Fields to step up? But if he isn't a Heisman-like player, if he isn't an MVP-like player, then Ohio State can't win this game. They can't just turn around and hand it off all game, and they're not going to play great enough defense to stop the golden boy Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne, who, by the way, is right here from the boot. Why is he not at LSU? So when you look at the matchup on paper of what we've seen this year, Clemson is by far the better team. But the Ohio State Buckeyes have the wild card, and he's played quarterback and played at a high level before.
Yeah, they ran for like one running back for 300 yards against Northwestern, but that ain't who you're playing this week. You're going to have to throw the ball to be able to beat Clemson. And you're right, Justin Fields is going to have to play even better than he would have had to play last year to win, because this team is not as good as that team last year, particularly on defense. They lost two guys in the first round. Chase Young and Jeff Okuda are gone off that defense. They are not going to be able to hold Trevor Lawrence. Not that they held him in check last year, but they're not going to be able to hold him in check this year. So I think that it's going to fall a lot on what Ryan Day can cook up from a game plan standpoint, and can Justin Fields just play above himself. And we've seen great players do this, and many times they've, in those big moments, they play even better than they thought they were capable of. He's going to have to do that because the pressure is going to be on him. They're not going to be able to push them around up front like they're Northwestern and just run the ball. He's going to have to make some big plays, find the one-on-one matchups, and he's going to have to get lucky. Like that interception that you talked about, it was miscommunication. He thought the receiver was going to keep going. The receiver thought he assumed he was going to sit it down. You can't have those type of mistakes. You need those mistakes on the other side of the ball, and you're going to need to use all the tools you have from running and passing from the quarterback position to put threat on that defense from Clemson. So I think that the chances are slim. I'm probably betting on Clemson, but there's a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, Lloyd Christmas. So you're saying there's a chance. When you look at this college football playoff, right? This is one of those years where it could have went anyway. So coming into Selection Sunday, people were talking about Texas A&M. They were talking about Notre Dame. Ohio State was the team that seemed to get in off of reputation. Ohio State was the team that seemed to get in because they had just been pushing for them to be there all year. Oh, Big Ten, you got to play a certain amount of games. Well, Ohio State didn't play a certain amount of games, so we're going to change the rules, right? The NCAA, they just saying things like Ohio State looks better. That's a lie. They didn't look better. And so now here is their opportunity. Here's your opportunity to get on the practice field, understand the things that are surrounding you, understand the fact that you might be in hill in reputation, and now it's time to show out. You got nothing to lose, and that's how Justin Fields has to play, like he has nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, guys, these two quarterbacks have a really long history. They're the two top quarterback recruits in 2018. Their Georgia high schools only 21 miles away from each other, so history will continue today. We're going to see what happens.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance.
superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, the Browns are looking for their first playoff appearance in 18 years. The easiest way to do that is with a win against the Big Ben-less Steelers, although they can also clinch a playoff spot with a Colts loss. Dominic, let's start with you. Who gets the credit if the Browns do make the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Stefanski in this situation. He's the guy they brought in, the head coach. He's the newest thing to this equation, and he is, since he's been there, they've been a much better team. So while we all know here that a lot of people deserve credit if they get in, the fact of the matter is, Stefanski is probably playing and coaching for a Coach of the Year trophy if they get in, and he's probably going to get a ton of credit for getting the best out of Baker Mayfield. He's going to get a ton of credit for having them step up in a big moment if they win this game, even though the Steelers are benching their players. It's going to be a lot of pressure on Baker Mayfield, and if they lose, people are probably going to unfairly put it all on Baker Mayfield. But if they win, it's no way that people aren't the day after, Monday after, they're not going to be they're going to be celebrating Kevin Stefanski's addition to that team and the way that he's changed the culture and he's pushed them in the right direction. He's fixed the offense. He's based it around a running attack because that's the skills that they have, and he's simplified it for Baker Mayfield to be able to play well. And if Baker plays really well this weekend, people are still going to say it's Stefanski who put him in that situation. It's not necessarily Baker stepping up in a big moment.
See? You talk about people. We not talk about people, Dom. We are talking about the world that we live in. Me and you, right now, first take. Don't be talking about what people go say. Say Dom is going to say that Kevin Stefanski helped them win this game, not Baker Mayfield. Why? Because the other, see, this is what happened. This is why, like, Max and Stephen A get to bring up old stuff all the time because they work together. Because the other day when you were talking, we was like, you know who Baker Mayfield is. You don't need to see who Baker Mayfield is when we were having our Lamar conversation. What I do know is Baker Mayfield, at least through commercials, lives at the stadium. Kevin Stefanski don't get to live at the stadium. Baker Mayfield's book club meets at the stadium. Kevin Stefanski's book club don't meet at the stadium. Baker Mayfield can put Baker Mayfield's face on not Baker Mayfield's body on a Hulu commercial. I ain't never seen Kevin Stefanski on, like, Gary Kubiak's body on a Hulu commercial. It's about Baker Mayfield. If this team makes it to the playoffs, it's because Baker Mayfield became a better football player. He's the Baker Mayfield we saw in primetime against the Baltimore Ravens. He's the Baker Mayfield we saw tear up the Tennessee Titans. It's the Baker Mayfield who, without Odell Beckham Jr., after he goes down with an ACL tear in the first quarter against the Cincinnati Bengals, has one of the greatest performances we had seen from him up until that point that made us say, okay, dang, maybe this team is better without Odell Beckham Jr. And now, what happened against the Jets last week? Inexcusable, right? So you look at it, Baker Mayfield puts the ball on the ground three times, but they also don't rush for more than 30 yards. Kevin Stefanski, why from Friday to Sunday can't you develop and understand that the run game needs to be a certain thing against this stacked box in order to win when you're playing with practice squad wide receivers? You drop back over 50 times. And so this is going to be about Baker Mayfield stepping up in a big moment. There's turmoil around the team. There's different COVID and injury reserve lists that people are being put on because of the protocol. So now, Baker Mayfield, show us that you're that guy. And because if he doesn't, right? If this team doesn't get in, we're not going to say, well, Kevin Stefanski didn't coach well enough for this team to get in.
Right.
We're going to say, well, Kevin Stefanski got him to 10 games after Freddie Kitchens had them eating at the outhouse, not the penthouse. So this is going to be about Baker Mayfield, yeah, how he shows up, how he plays if this team gets into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're right. We agree that if they lose, people are going to blame Baker Mayfield. And you and I, depending on the outcome of the game, I think you and I are smart enough to know that we can't decide who to blame today. We got to see what happens in that game. But I did watch last week's game, and part of the problem was Baker Mayfield. A big part of the problem is Baker Mayfield. I understand the running attack wasn't what they wanted it to be, but that's what the Jets were expecting. The Jets weren't surprised that they were going to try to run the ball because the Jets knew all their receivers were out. They were loading the box. They have a good defensive line. You know what happens when teams load the box? Your quarterback's supposed to eat. Baker didn't eat. And I love Baker Mayfield as an actor. His commercials are phenomenal. I mean, those guys can catch. You got to eat. But anyway, his commercials are phenomenal. I'm rooting for him to succeed just so we can get some new insurance commercials from him next year because he is great at that. But you notice in those commercials, you say he live in the stadium. When he try to get in, they act like they don't even know him. So don't act like Baker Mayfield owns Cleveland already. When he tried to walk back in, they made him check all his wallet and everything. They act like they ain't know who he was because he ain't killing. If he was out there killing, you know what? They would say, oh, how you doing, Mr. Mayfield? Come right in. Go around the metal detector. They make that man go through that metal detector. You know why? Because they don't trust him. You don't trust him. I don't trust him. The security at the stadium don't trust him. That's the problem. That's why Kevin Stefanski is going to get the credit. Baker Mayfield's greatest games this season were a couple of moments, I think, the Tennessee Titans. You go back and look at that game. It is all about, it's not about reading. It's about them committing to stopping the run and him having play action, big opportunities. He hit those throws. Not all quarterbacks can hit those throws. So I give him credit for that. And then you think about the Ravens game where they lost. His biggest moments, the Ravens, all their cornerbacks were hurt. And they were out there running zone coverages that I ain't seen them run since I was on the team.
They had 40 plus, dog.
I'm saying what I saw happen, and they still lost the game. So I'm not saying that Baker's not good. And again, I love his commercials, so I hope he gets better so he can have his little skinny body Hulu commercials too. Those things make me laugh. I'm a Baker Mayfield thespian fan. But Baker Mayfield quarterback, there are still questions to be asked. And I know that after this game, you and I will watch the film and decide who deserves the credit or the blame. However, not us. We don't decide what the rest of the world thinks. We decide what we think. And in our text conversation, we're going to talk about whose fault it really is. But the world at large, if they lose, they're going to look back at last week and they're going to look at this week. And you say, you know who was fumbling on quarterback sneaks? Not Kevin Stefanski. You know who wasn't hitting them throws when we need them? Not Kevin Stefanski. It's going to fall on Baker's head, whether it's fair or not.
So by default, Kevin Stefanski gets the credit. Guys, the Browns haven't made the playoffs in quite a while, 18 years to be exact. And just to give you some perspective on that, 18 years ago, Kevin Stefanski was in college, Baker Mayfield in grade school. Michael Jordan was still in the NBA. And also, for some pop culture reference, Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake had just broken up.